We're part of the family that's been born again. Part of the family whose love knows no end. For Jesus has saved us and made us His own. On its way home. And sometimes we laugh together, sometimes we cry, sometimes we share together heartaches and sighs, sometimes we of how it will be when we all get to heaven, God's family. When a brother meets sorrow, we all feel his grief. When he's passed through the valley, we all feel relief. Together in sunshine, together in rain, together in victory, through His precious name. And though some go before us, we'll all meet again. Just inside the city, as we enter in, there'll be no more parting. When Jesus will be together forever, God's family. And sometimes we laugh together, sometimes we cry, sometimes we share together heartache and sighs. Sometimes we dream together of how it will be when we all get to heaven, God's family. And sometimes we laugh together, sometimes we cry, sometimes we share together heartaches and sighs, sometimes we dream together of how it will be when we all get to heaven, God's family.
Amen. That song like that, that'll cause you to strip a few gears.
If you've ever sung special music before, I'm going to need a little bit more here, Brother Bob.
All right. My voice, I've got one of those kind of weird voices, you know. I can't project. So, but if you've ever sung special music before, you understand what I'm talking about. And you, when that part's coming up and you know it's coming, you begin to prepare for it. Sometimes it jumps on you pretty quick. But I appreciate the song. I don't know about you. Do you just long for that day? Do you just long to be reunited, not just with loved ones, but with Jesus Christ? I tell you, there's some days you just kind of get overcome. You know, it's just overwhelming what's in store for us as a child of God. And boy, you pick up your Bible and you begin to read all the wonderful things that we have to look forward to. Folks, how can we be sad? How can we be discouraged when we know, listen, folks, we are the winners. We've won. We've won the battle. And because we're on the winning side, it ought to help us and motivate us to live the Christian life with joy and excitement and happiness because we win. Well, take your Bible, if you would, tonight, Matthew 1 and Psalm 119. Matthew chapter 1 and Psalm chapter number 119. You know, God's been so good to us this week, folks, with, you know, we've seen people saved. We saw people baptized today. And God's blessed us with a great opportunity to reach out into our area and our community with the gospel of Christ. He's given us wonderful people to serve in these ministries. And I just want you to know, as your pastor, I do not take that for granted. And your service and your commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you found your place there in Matthew 1 and Psalm chapter 119? If you would, please, let's stand together. We're going to read verses 18 down through verse number 21. It'll be familiar to you. Say, preacher, what are we reading about the Christmas story for? This is not Christmas. Well, I got out this afternoon and the weather reminded me it's Christmas. But Matthew chapter 18, I want to use this passage of Scripture along with Psalm 119. And I want to provoke us tonight, church, to as Christians to be thinkers, to think before we act. To actually engage in what is called thinking. I know that thinking is a lost art today because so much of our society is so amusement that where we don't have to think about anything, but we need to. And I want you to look at something with me tonight, if you would please. Follow along in verse number 18 as I read together. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But, I want you to notice this, while he, and I want you to circle this word, thought. While he thought on these things. What things? Folks, he's espoused to a woman that's pregnant, and as far as he's concerned, she's been unfaithful. He can't figure this out. You see the thing about it, he said, oh, that's not what happened. Yeah, but you have preview to the Scripture. He didn't. And yet he thought, you know what? Everything sure points this direction. It sure points that the one I fell in love with has been unfaithful to me. And yet the Scripture says, but then he thought on these things. Behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Oh, okay. All right. Now I understand. Well, he didn't understand a verse ago, though. It wasn't until he thought on these things. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, we need you to hold your place there because we're going to go back and analyze a few verses tonight for the message. But I want you to look in Psalm chapter 119 and verse number 59. Psalm 119 and verse number 59. The psalmist says, I thought on my ways. Now listen, he said, when I thought about my ways, and when I thought before I acted, he says, when I thought on my ways, he said, and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. Now listen, he said, it wasn't until I thought that I applied biblical principle. Now listen, most of us are impulse thinkers. We think and we act off the cuff. And I want to talk to you tonight, church, on this character quality, forethought or foolishness. You know, the Bible has a lot to talk about fools, but it also has to say a lot of times fools act before they think. And I want to take these verses tonight and help us to learn something and use Joseph as an illustration of what he did to handle what seemed to be a very obvious predicament that he was in and how he handled it. Father, would you bless now our time together? Thank you for the privilege of being in church. And Lord, we certainly don't take our time for granted. We realize that we'll not assemble like this ever again. And we realize, Lord, that before we meet again as a church, the coming of Jesus could be at hand. And so we pray now that you teach us, Holy Spirit, open our heart, our mind to our what you have for us, and we'll certainly give all the glory and praise to you in the wonderful name of Christ, we ask. Amen. You can be seated. How many times in your life have you said something or done something that you regretted because you didn't take the time to think it through? Now, nobody's in, so I'll raise my hand. I'm probably the only one that's ever done something like that. No, you know what? I think we're probably 100% in the majority here that all of us have done something or said something that we've regretted because we didn't think through the situation. We spoke or acted on impulse or feelings. And listen, instead of rational and spiritual thinking. Anybody here ever made an emotional decision? Yeah. Listen to me. And listen, I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. What I'm just trying to say is, you know where we make a lot of emotional decisions but no commitment? Right there. We make a lot of emotional decisions at the altar with very little substance to go with it, with very little commitment to back it up. We make a lot of emotional decisions. Listen, folks, I'm not against emotions. I like emotions. But listen, it's going to take some rational and spiritual forethought in our lives to deal with situations that we face. Now, because of our failure to think about what we were about to do or what we were thinking, what it does, church, is it portrays us to have the mentality of a fool. Because a fool acts before he thinks, and listen to what happens. What he does then he not only embarrasses himself, he embarrasses his family, listen, and he embarrasses his church and the cause of Jesus Christ. Because he does not engage his brain before he enacts in his life. You ever heard people say, well, that's just who I am. I just speak what I think. You might want to reconsider that. Because let me tell you something. You don't always think right. And let me tell you something, folks. I'll just be honest with you. I know my name's on the sign out there, but as the pastor, do you know I think some things I'd never tell you I thought? You say, oh, you mean, yeah, look, flesh, blood, depravity. And you know something? You think things that you ought not to say too. So don't always speak your mind, because you might want to reconsider that, because a lot of times your mind's not operating properly. You say, well, I just speak what's on my heart. No. The scripture says the heart is deceitfully wicked above all things. Boy, you don't want people to know what's going on inside there, right? That ought to be between you and God. You see, church, engaging forethought will prevent foolishness. We get ourselves in a predicament many times because we don't think things through. We don't see the end result of our decision. For instance, the majority of the crimes that are committed in our country, before they're ever acted out, they've been committed in the mind. They thought about it. They plotted it. And they committed the crime in their mind before they ever carried it out on the street. You see, even a criminal engages forethought before he engages in crime. Oh, can I say this? You know, most of the sin that we commit in our mind first before we follow through with it. Now, I'm just going to say this. You can believe what you want to believe. But you know, I think David committed adultery in his mind before he ever committed it with Bathsheba. You see, the thing about it is, you know how people become immoral? They become immoral because they commit sin and immorality in their mind before they ever carry it out in their body and in their flesh. They've thought about it. They've watched it. They've read it. They've looked at pictures. They've done all of these things. Listen, they've done it in their mind before they ever carry it out in their body and in the flesh. And listen, they don't ever think about the consequences, about where, what road this is going to lead them down. Because all they're looking at right now is immediate gratification. I want you to listen to some of the verses that identify foolishness with the lack of forethought. Proverbs chapter 12, verse number 15 says, "The ways of a fool are right in his own eyes." Isn't it amazing? They're not right in anybody else's, but they're right in his. You know why? Because a fool defines his own terms. He has his own little dictionary, and he defines his own terms, and I found out that usually his definitions don't match up with God's definitions. You see, he's right in his own eyes. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse number 16. "Every prudent man dealeth with knowledge, but a fool layeth open his folly." In other words, he'll just speak his mind. He'll just open up. Proverbs 17:7. "Excellent speech becometh not a fool." You know what he does? He has diarrhea of the mouth. That's what he has. And he speaks things before he engages his thoughts. And a lot of times, you know what? A fool will hurt people's feelings. He will offend people because he doesn't engage thought before he speaks. Proverbs 18:2. "A fool hath no delight in understanding." You know why? Because he likes who he is. Proverbs 18:6. "A fool's lips enter into contention." Proverbs 18, verse 7, "A fool's mouth is his destruction." Proverbs 28:26, "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool." Proverbs 29:11, "A fool uttereth all his mind." Remember I told you, he's the guy that says, "Well, I just speak my mind." Okay? "A fool uttereth all his mind." You see, there's no need to go on, church. You gotta get the picture, right? You get the picture that forethought without thinking through the process, you normally leads to foolishness. Remember Psalm 119:59 that we just read? The psalmist said, "I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies." Now listen, before he turned, what took place first? Thought. He thought on them. You see, he meditated on what he was going to do before he did it. And after he thought, then he got right on track. But he engaged in thought. He engaged in the area of thinking. Listen, folks, I've already said, so much of today doesn't require us to think anymore. We allow the world to think for us. And so therefore, we just jump on the bandwagon of whatever group we want to jump onto. We don't even check it out. Listen, do you realize people give money to organizations and don't even check them out? I mean, folks, that's been exposed over the years, hasn't it? How people invest money, and the next thing they're like, "Oh, I didn't know that. Well, did you check it out?" Well, no, they just seem like nice people. See, we never think. We never check it out. And so he says, "I thought on my ways, and then I turned my feet unto thy testimonies." That word "thought" here means to reason your way through something, or consider the outcome of the decision that you're about to make. The psalmist said, "I thought about how the circumstances are connected to my decisions." And so, since I thought about how the circumstances are connected to my decisions, he said, "Then I looked and considered the outcome." You see, impulse thinking can be very damaging. Impulse thinking, church, is this. It's influence acting on our mind. It's sudden decisions without ever thinking about the outcome. Now I'm going to make a statement. You need to listen to what I'm about to say. Most bad decisions made by impulse are maintained by pride. Most bad decisions that are made on impulse are maintained by pride. You know why? Because normally when we make a bad decision and it's an impulse decision, we won't ever admit that it was a wrong decision. It's maintained by pride. People make mistakes and they realize, "Man, if I confess to this and admit that I made this mistake, then what will happen? I'll be embarrassed." So you know what? They try to justify their decision. Now listen to me. A lot of bad decisions made on impulse that have left wives abandoned, children fatherless, homes empty of leadership. Listen to me. Churches empty in the pews and empty of laborers, and the cause of Christ ultimately suffers. Because of impulse thinking. That's thinking or acting without thinking. Now, with this in mind, I want you to go back to Matthew chapter 1. I want us to analyze a few verses here for the message tonight. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, 19, and 20. Now, what I want you to do is I want to try to take you inside the head of Joseph for just a moment. And I want you to put yourself in his shoes. Now, look at this. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise when as his mother, Jesus' mother, was espoused to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now, think about this. Here's a young girl that you've committed your life to. She's committed her life to you. And everything's going great. Friendship's building. They're looking forward one day to the celebration of the marriage and all of these types of things. And then she comes up pregnant. Now listen, he's a man, and he's trying to put two and two together here, right? Because listen, he's not privy to the information yet. He just realizes, this woman that I fell in love with, this woman that I gave myself to, listen, something's wrong here, she's pregnant. And the situation that he's facing, church, is this. It's never happened, there's never a woman been pregnant without some type of relationship with a man ever before. And so he's trying to figure this out. So logically, the obvious thing would be to think she's been unfaithful, right? That's the obvious thing. Now listen to me. He didn't have all the facts, though. He didn't know all the circumstances. So he's trying to put two and two together, and he's trying to act like he ought to act in this situation. Now, it seemed pretty obvious what Mary had done. And by the way, there had never been a case like this ever before, and there never has been since. Now listen carefully. You see, it doesn't take any thought, church, to believe the obvious. When something seems to be obvious, many times we don't even gauge thinking about it. We don't even gauge thought. You know what we do? We just take it for face value. We kind of treat it as an open and shut case, right? And we think, well, that's it. That's the way it is. And we already have passed judgment and never one time thought through, well, wait a minute now. Those are good Christian people. Their track record doesn't show that they're like this. We never think about the background. We always look at what seems to be the obvious. Now, the thing about it is the obvious thing was Mary's pregnant and she didn't have a relationship with Joseph, and he knew that and she knew that, so he was in a predicament. Now, listen very carefully. If something looks a certain way, then many times I conclude that I don't have to weigh the evidence to come up with a conclusion. I can just go ahead and accept it for face value, right? Because my eyes are telling me this is the way it is. How many of you have ever been fooled? Your eyes have ever fooled you? Do you know mine do? That's the reason I've got these. They fool me. How many of you have ever been to a magician show? You ever been to one of those? You know what he does? He fools you. Because what he seems to be doing, listen, he pulls this gigantic airplane out of a hat. You're like, wow! And then after the show, you go up and look, where did that come from? You see, what he's doing is he's using optical illusions. It looks like he pulls a jetliner out of the hat, but he doesn't really. It seems obvious, right? You're thinking to yourself, wow, I've never seen anything like that before. You see, if something looks a certain way, we just come to the conclusion that's the way it is, and we just accept it without weighing any of the evidence. Now, I want you to listen to me. When we act that way, when we engage and we act without thinking, let me tell you what you're going to do. You're going to hurt a lot of people. You're going to hurt a lot of people because you're automatically going to come to a conclusion that they're guilty of something that they may not be. You remember in the scripture where Paul advised the Thessalonians to abstain from all appearance of evil? You know why he did that? He said, we don't want to send mixed messages. He said, you don't want to put yourself in a place that might seem obvious that you're sinning.
So you know what? You abstain from all appearance of evil. That's the reason that we here, that we teach our kids. Listen, you don't need to be in certain places. Why? You say, but I'm not doing anything. That's not the issue. The issue is not that you're not doing anything. The issue that is that it appears that you're doing something. Because listen, most of the world don't think. Okay? As far as they're concerned, you're guilty by association. And when I don't think, and when I don't engage thought, I'm not gonna be just, I'm gonna damage people, and I'm gonna hurt people. Now, it might be a good thing, church, for us to practice giving people the benefit of the doubt. And see if we might can find a way for them to be innocent instead of always guilty. You see, many times the obvious may not always be what it seems to be. Let me give you an illustration. The two most accused people in the New Testament were Jesus and the Apostle Paul. Jesus, remember the time Jesus was accused of casting out demons by Beelzebub? Because that's what they thought was happening. It seemed obvious, right? Wait a minute, you're casting out devils. You must be casting them out with the power of the devil. That means you're of the devil. The Apostle Paul got accused of a lot of things. Stoned, beaten. You see, they were the two most accused people. You know what the problem was? The thing about it is what seemed to be obvious to other people were lies. And God justified them in the long run. Let me give you another illustration. Let me take you thousands of years ago to a house of Potiphar's wife. And there Joseph, being a just man, a right man, and Potiphar pushed him and pushed him and pushed him every day to commit fornication with her. He finally got to the point, he said, listen, I can't do this great sin against God. And so the Bible says she grabbed him and he ran out of his jacket. And she thought, you stinking little punk. And she began to yell rape. So when everybody came running, guess what she had in her hand? Look here. I got his jacket. Oh, well then he must be guilty then. Do you know he spent 2 years in prison for that? And didn't even do anything wrong. But wait a minute. The obvious thing seemed to be that he raped Potiphar's wife, right? Because she had the evidence. She had a jacket. But we find out that it was a lie. You know why? Because nobody thought any different. Nobody checked the facts out. Nobody investigated. Nobody tried to prove him innocent. You see, we're quick to judge and condemn, but we're very slow to try to find out if anybody's innocent and check it out. Why? Because we don't think, folks. And you know what? In the end, we appear to be a fool because we don't think things through. Now, Joseph, look at verse 19. Joseph was in love with this girl. Joseph loved her. He wanted to care for her. But the predicament was what seemed to be obvious. He was in a situation. He was already committed. He thought, man, what am I going to do? I guess I can put her away. I can do something. So you understand, he's thinking about all of these different things to deal with a situation that seemed very obvious that she had been unfaithful. But then verse number 19, notice this. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away. How? All right, now I want you to look at a couple of things about Joseph. First of all, it said he was a just man. Did you see that? Joseph was a man that involved his life in being just. That means that he had a spirit that, you know what, of balance, and he also had a spirit that he treated people the way that they ought to be treated. Amen. You see, the thing about it is, folks, sometimes we don't treat people the way they ought to be treated. We treat them the way we want to treat them, based on what we think they did. And the thing about it is, you may not have all of the facts because we don't think. You see, all the evidence pointed to guilt to Mary. But she was the espoused wife to Joseph. Everything pointed guilty, right? Everything pointed adultery. Everything pointed immorality. Everything pointed that direction. Then the thing about it is, here's Joseph being a just man. He's trying to say, listen, what do I need to do? Look at it.
Joseph didn't make this a public matter. Did you notice it says, and not willing to make her a public example? You know why? Because he knew what the consequences were. He knew what the consequences were, so he thought, you know what? I'm not going to make this public. In other words, you know what? I'm not going to go on my job and talk about the problems I'm having in my marriage. I'm not going to go on the job and talk about the problems I'm having with my kids. I'm not going to go on my job and talk about the financial issues and how much I'm in debt. Folks, listen to me. You don't need to air out your dirty laundry to other people. Joseph said, listen, I know it looks pretty obvious that this has been a situation of immorality. He says, so you know what? I'm going to treat her like she needs to be treated, and I'm going to put her away privately. So I'm not going to make it a public matter. Why do we have to make everything a public issue? Why can't we handle our own affairs in the area of privacy, which needs to be done? You see, Joseph didn't make it a public matter because he knew the public ridicule she'd go through. He showed mercy and respect to her. He did not enlarge the problem by making it public. By the way, when we open our mouth and talk to others about our problem, all you're doing is enlarging the problem. That's all you're doing. You're not helping yourself. And Joseph knew, why would I say anything about this to anybody? He said, I'm going to take care of this in a private manner, not in a public manner. You see, because when you do and you make it public, can I remind you, you cannot unring a doorbell or untell a story? You see, if you're wrong, which most of the time we are, if you're wrong, you may not be able to correct it. And then if you can't correct it because you've made it public, you may have done irreparable damage. You know why where it all started? Because we didn't think. We didn't have any forethought. We didn't look into the matter. We didn't think it through before we acted. Now I want you to look at verse 20. But while he, what does it say he did, church? Why he thought. It sounds to me that Joseph went into meditation. Now listen to me, follow me here now. Everything pointed to unfaithfulness, right? Everything pointed that something's not right here. But he sat down and he thought, no, wait a minute. We've been courting for a long time. And she has not been unfaithful to me one time. She has been loyal to me. Wait a minute, her character is intact. All of these things, and I think that Joseph came and he thought on these things, and listen to me, he thought, no, wait a minute. This doesn't make any sense. She's never, her track record shows nothing like this. And he thought through the process. You know what I think he came to the conclusion? There's got to be a solution to this. There's got to be something to this. I'm missing something. You see, even here in verse 20, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream. You know what? He's thinking about this. Wait a minute. This issue, there's got to be an answer to this. Listen, he's still meditating on what can this be? Can this be as it appears to be? I love this person. She's never been unfaithful. She's never done anything that shows this type of character. Let me give you an illustration. He thought about this, and then he acted. But don't you listen, it's the same spirit that Daniel had, remember? When Daniel went into captivity, the scripture says he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat. That word purpose, you know what he did? He thought it through. And he decided, you know what? I don't care what they offer me, I'm not going to bow. I'm not going to give in. He thought about the process before they ever presented it. Can I remind you also, it's the same thought process that David went through when he decided that he was not going to take the life of Saul. Now listen, let me remind you. Remember when Saul went into the cave? David's in there and his men. Now listen, his little cronies, his little buddies, you know what they're telling him? Kill him. Now, one of them might have said, look, God's delivered him into your hand. This is God's will. Listen, because David thought through this, he said, how can I lift up my hand? How can I raise my hand against the Lord's anointed? So you know what he does? He doesn't kill him. He cuts his cloak off. That's how close he got to him. And listen, he came out of the cave after Saul. He said, why are you pursuing me? Why do you want to kill me? Why do you want to do these things to me? He said, look, I've got your cloak. I could have done you harm, but I chose not. You know why? Because he thought through. How would you want to be the one that killed the king? But you know what his little buddies were doing? This is God's will. It's obvious. Look, there he is. Look at him. Kill him. He's right there. Take him out. And listen, it seemed obvious that God had delivered him right into David's hand. No, no, no. You know what that was? God said, I'm going to put him right under your nose, see what you do. God said, David said, I'll not raise my hand. Listen, that wasn't the first time he could have taken Saul out. Multiple times he could have. And you know what? Everybody, you know what the counsel was? Take him out. Take him out. You see, it seemed obvious. The answer was there. But too many times we make decisions without thinking or considering the outcome. You say, well, has anybody ever done that? Yeah, Adam and Eve did it. Sure did. You know what? They made an impulse decision before they ever thought. Listen, do you think they were thinking that before Eve took of that forbidden fruit and gave it to Adam and he took it, you think they looked at each other and they thought, man, if we do this, we're going to throw the whole human race into sin. Boy, if we do this, the whole human race, I mean, we're going to mess mankind up for thousands of years. We better not do this. Never thought why. Impulse decision. They did it. In a perfect environment, they did it. They made a decision without ever thinking about considering the outcome. Can I tell you somebody else that did it? Moses did it. Remember when God told him how to get water from the rock and he smote it a second time? You know what? You know what ticked him off? You know why he did that? Because the people ticked him off. You know, people get you upset, won't they? And you know what you want to do? So since he couldn't hit them, he hit the rock. Now wait a minute, you know what that rock was a type of? It's a type of Jesus. And he smote that rock the second time. Let me ask you this. Did it cost Adam and Eve because of an impulse decision without thinking? Yes. Did it cost Moses? Yes. God says, all right, buddy. I know I've used you in your life, but you're not going into the promised land. Listen. I'm sure that some of us would have done this. Well, what did I do wrong? I mean, you don't understand, Lord. See them people. They made me do it. God said, well, last time I checked, you had the rod in your hand. You see, Moses had an impulse decision that cost him. May I remind you that David, likewise, his sin with Bathsheba cost him. May I remind you that King Saul, remember when he was impatient and he decided, you know what? The preacher's not coming, so I'm going to sacrifice. Let me ask you, did it cost him? Yeah, it did. You know why? Impulse thinking. He didn't use any forethought, so therefore he did something foolish. Now, in the New Testament, Peter did it. You know what caused him to deny the Lord three times? Fear. You know what causes most of the people of God to make impulse decisions off the cuff without thinking it through? Fear. We're afraid and we make a decision right there. And you don't have to. May I say to you that all over America tonight, there are young girls today who are living with guilt and emotional problems because they got pregnant one day and some nut advised them to take the life of that baby and get an abortion, and it cost them dearly. You know why? Because somebody said, this is what you need to do. Look here, this is what you need to do. And they did it, and listen, they're tormented in their conscience tonight. You see, it'd be a good thing if we just decided what harvest that we wanted to reap and then think about it before we start sowing. Proverbs 18 and verse number 13 says, he that answereth the matter before he heareth it, it is folly, listen, and shame unto him. Let me give you a couple things to think about and I'm done. Here's what I want you to think about. Go to verse 20. Go to verse 20. The first thing I want you to think about is this. The Lord spoke to Joseph while he was thinking. Now listen to me. He didn't speak to Joseph while he was acting. He spoke to him while he was thinking. You say, well, what does that mean? Well, it means this. In Psalm chapter 139 and verse number 2, the scripture says, thou knowest my downsitting and my uprising. The psalmist says, thou understandest my thought afar off. That means God understands it and knows it before it ever crosses my mind. He knows what I'm thinking. You see, God knows my thoughts before they become actions. Now think with me, follow me here now. So that means if I think before I act, then I'm giving God an opportunity, listen now, to deal with me in my thoughts before I act. You see, if I'll think about it and I'll take time, that's a reason. You know what, folks? Some of us need to step back in our Christian life and take a deep breath. Whew. Before you act. Because remember now, everything that seems obvious may not be. Things may not always be as they seem. Because from Joseph's human naked eye, it seemed that Mary was guilty of fornication or adultery, of immorality. That's what it seemed like, right? But you know what he did? He sat back and he thought, now wait a minute. This is a good girl. This is a good woman. She loves God. She got a good family. Man, we've talked about family. We've talked about all these things like young couples talk about. And listen, he began to think about these things. He said, wait a minute, there's got to be an answer to this. And the Lord spoke to him while he was thinking. And if we'll just think about some things, what you'll do is you'll give God an opportunity to meet with you and deal with you in your thoughts before you act. Now listen, if you act before you think, here's the negative side. Then God has to deal with you according to your actions. You see, the thing about it is a lot of us, we go back and we regret some things that we did, but normally it's afterthought, not forethought. And then we regret it, but then many times it's too late. You see, if I act first, then think later. Let me remind you, God is then going to have to deal with me according to my actions. But if I'll think first, then I give God the opportunity to deal with me and my thoughts before I act. Now, if I think before I act, God knows my thoughts, the scripture says, afar off. Then he has the opportunity, here it is now, to change my thoughts before I act. I tell you one thing, if I did some of the things I thought, you know where you'd have to come see me? In jail. You say, oh, not me, preacher. Liar, liar, pants on fire and skirt on fire. You see, the thing about it is what it is, folks, we just don't want people to think that we think that way. But folks, we're depraved. Our thoughts can be wicked at times and cruel at times. That's the reason you don't need to act before you think. You need to think about the consequences before you act. Here's the next thing I want you to look at real quick about Joseph. I said, first of all, God came to Joseph while he was thinking. But I want you to consider what might have happened to Joseph. If Joseph would not have thought through this, and he just acted on what seemed to be the obvious, let's think about what might could have happened to him. First of all, if he would have made a decision based on his original judgment, on what seemed to be obvious, listen to me, then he would have missed the will of God for his life. Totally missed it. If he would have acted before he thought. But he didn't. He thought on these things, and that's when God met him in his thoughts. Now listen, you know what God did? Changed his mind. He said, oh, take Mary to be your wife. What's conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. In other words, this is of God. This has nothing to do with immorality. Has nothing to do with adultery. Has nothing to do with fornication. He said, go ahead. He said, this is of God. Now listen, you know what probably ran through his mind then? Because you think that maybe being raised in Jewish school, you maybe think that maybe some of the girls might have thought, I wonder if it's going to be me that brings the Messiah into the world. I wonder if the next thing that crossed his mind was, hey, you know what? This could be a whole lot better than I thought. This might turn out better than I thought it was. You see, if he would have acted based on his original decision, original judgment, what seemed to be the obvious, he'd have missed God's will. Listen, folks, he would have missed taking on the role as Jesus' earthly father. How'd you like that job? He'd have missed out. Totally. Listen, he would have lost the fellowship that he would have had with the Son of God. He'd have lost it all. Listen, if he would have acted before he thought and acted upon what seemed to be the obvious. Let me tell you something else that could have happened. He would have missed out on marrying a godly woman that had yielded to the Holy Ghost, yielded to the call of God. He would have missed out on marrying a godly woman if he would have acted on what seemed to be the obvious. And then he would have brought reproach on Mary, her family, his family, listen now, and he would have brought reproach on the birth of the Messiah. He said, what all changed? He thought. You know what might change in your life? If you think more instead of acting. If we would think through some things before we act, it'd be amazing what might happen in your life. Think before you act. Think before you leave a home. Think before you leave a job. Listen, people today are leaving jobs and never even think, wait a minute, I got to pay bills. What am I going to do? They quit a job because, you know what? The boss said, got on to him and said, next time you do that, I'm going to fire you. Well, you know what? I'll just leave. And then listen, while we're driving home, about that time, the Holy Spirit says, you know what? You're an idiot. How are you going to pay bills now? Man, I don't know. Stop the car. Pick some cans up. That's what we're going to do. But you know what? People make those decisions, folks, and don't even think. Homes are empty today. Why? Because people make impulse decisions and they'll leave a husband and leave a wife and leave little old kids and don't even think about the consequences of it. Because they never think through it. So think before you leave a home. Think before you leave a job. Listen, let me finish up and say this. Think before you leave the church. You better think before you leave the church. Because let me tell you something, folks. I'm just going to be honest with you. If God sent you here, only God can move you. So you better think about it. Because there's many people that leave the church, leave churches all across the country today that aren't even in church anymore. Because they left over an issue that seemed to be very obvious to them, only to find out later that it wasn't what it appeared to be. But listen, remember what I said? Most bad decisions that are made on impulse are kept intact by pride. Normally people who leave the church will never come back to it. You know why? Because the pride will not let them. Their pride will not allow them to do it. And bad decisions made on impulse maintained by pride. Now let me finish up and say this. If you think things through in advance, in the light of Bible principles, you know what you'll do? You'll think godly thoughts and God will meet you in your thought life so that your actions can be right. But you know what it's going to require? It's going to require thinking. It's a lost art today. But you know what? As the people of God, we got to think, folks. We've got to think. It's a character trait. Forethought or foolishness. Would you bow your heads with me tonight? Heads bowed, eyes closed. How many can say, preacher, I'm a Christian. I've been born again. No question about it. I want you to slip your hand way up high and say, that's me. I've been saved. And if Jesus came back tonight, I'm going up to heaven with him. All right. Wonderful. You can put your hands down.